Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
On this Gridiron Day, November 12th, the first paid player in professional football history takes place in Pittsburgh. And also in Pittsburgh, a few decades later, the very first NFL game is played. We have these stories and more for November 12th coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of thepigskindispatch.com, and we're here to tell you about the football history headlines, where we go to each day of the year, talk about the topics and football events that occurred on that day, and the legends and Hall of Famers that were born on that day. Today's date we're going to talk about is going to be November 12th, and we'll start off in the year 1887 on that date, as Cornell University revises its stance on the rules of football that colleges like Yale and Princeton were playing. And then they play the first intercollegiate game under these modern rules against Union College. Union defeated Cornell in the game by the score of 24-10. November 12, 1892, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the very first professional football game took place as former Yale star Pudge Heffelfinger receives $500 to become the first paid football player by the Allegheny Athletic Association. The AAA team, in fact, wins the game 4-0 over the Pittsburgh Athletic Club with great assistance by Heffelfinger. Our next site is Birmingham, Alabama, on November 12, 1904. The ninth edition of the Iron Bowl was played. The rivalry was heated back then, too. According to SportsReference.com, this game, though, Auburn got the better of Alabama 29-5. November 12, 1933, at Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the first home NFL game for the Pittsburgh franchise took place. Remember, just a few days earlier, as we discussed on our November 7th football history headlines, the voters in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania decided to let it be legal to play ball games on Sundays. It was the whole reason the NFL granted franchises in both Pittsburgh and Philadelphia for the 1933 season. November 12, 1933 was indeed a Sunday, and it was a big day in Pittsburgh history. Unfortunately for the fans, it was not a big day on the scoreboard for their team, as the Pittsburgh Football Pirates were blanked by the Brooklyn Dodgers football team 32-0. November 12, 1950, the Polo Grounds in New York City, New York. Giants running back Gene Roberts went off against the Chicago Cardinals defense as he ran for 218 yards, setting a New York Football Giants rushing record, according to the Pro Reference Football website. November 12, 1953, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. From the NHRegister.com website comes a story of the NFL blackouts of television broadcasts in cities for home games. In 1951, NFL Commissioner Burt Bell decided to black out all home games within a 75-mile radius of NFL markets. Bell was quoted as saying, "As long as I have anything to do with this league, home games won't be televised. Period." The Justice Department sued the NFL, alleging the restraint of trade. The NFL blackout of home games rule stood up in court as U.S. Judge Paul Grimm ruled in favor of the NFL's practice of not televising home games in the cities they were in. That rule has been tweaked and modified in modern times, and as extra revenues have come into the NFL, so now home games are only blacked out if they're not sold out. November 12, 1979, Texas Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Kicker Tony Franklin of the Philadelphia Eagles kicks a 59-yard field goal as his team holds off a late Cowboys charge to upset Dallas 31-21. November 12, 1988 in Houston, Texas, the University of Wyoming was riding high in the season of 1988. Ranked 10th in the nation and sporting the top offense in the country when they arrived in Texas to play the University of Houston. According to an article on the NFF's website, Houston defensive tackle Glenn Montgomery recorded 6 of his team's 16 sacks and made 14 tackles to lead the Cougars in knocking undefeated Wyoming out of the top 10. Cowboy quarterback Randy Welniak was dropped behind the line 9 times in the first half alone as the high-powered offense of Wyoming finished with negative 37 yards rushing. The Cougars attained a 28-3 lead behind College Football Hall of Fame quarterback Andre Ware's touchdown passes to Patrick Cooper and Brian Williams. Houston upset number 10 Wyoming 34-10 on that day. November 12, 1990, the infamous body bag game. Coach Buddy Ryan had an innovative style of motivation for his players. The Eagles coach threatened that his squad would be beating the Redskins so badly they'll have to be carted off in body bags in a talk leading up to the game. Ryan's Eagles defense promptly responded as they scored 3 touchdowns, winning 28-14, knocking 8 Redskins out of the game. November 12, 1995, Miami, Florida. Miami Dolphins star quarterback Dan Marino broke Fran Tarkington's NFL all-time passing yardage mark of 47,003 yards in a game against the New England Patriots. The BleacherReport.com reports that New England held on and won the game, despite the record, though, 34-17. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballers Family Podcast. And I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballers Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
Now it's time to remember our Hall of Famers on their birthdays, and we'll do so for this November 12th by starting off in the year 1890 in Norman, Oklahoma. Claude Reeds, a fullback from the University of Oklahoma, came into this life that day. Reeds was the very first Sooner of 167 total thus far to ever be elected as an All-American, as he accomplished his feat in 1913 per Soonersports.com. The National Football Federation's website bio adds that Claude holds the Oklahoma distance punting record of 102 yards set in Texas in 1911 when the field was 110 yards long. The NFF voted to have Claude Reeds into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1961. November 12, 1896, Spring Place, Georgia. The great tackle from Georgia Tech, Bill Fincher, was born. Bill spent time playing for the Ramblin' Wreck from 1960 through the 1920 seasons. The school didn't count his eligibility in the 1980s schedule as a full season. Fincher played well, even with only having one eye. The National Football Foundation shares a great story that may or may not be true, but a Davidson player who, after hitting Georgia Tech's Bill Fincher, raced off the field to tell his coach, "I've done something awful. I've knocked a man's eye out." Besides playing tackle for the Jackets, Bill was also a defensive end and a place kicker, and he excelled at all three positions. During his first season in 1916, Fincher participated in the infamous 222-0 GT victory over Cumberland College that have mentioned many times in football history headlines. The NFF selected Bill Fincher to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1974. November 12, 1912, Superior, Wisconsin. Alphonse Tuffy Lehmans, the tough running back from George Washington University, was born. Tuffy was a second-round pick in the very first NFL draft in 1936, thanks to a tip from Tim Mara's son, Wellington, who, while vacationing as a high schooler, saw Tuffy play at GW per the ProFootballHOF.com bio on him. Lehmans was the 1936 College All-Star MVP. In Lehman's rookie season, he led all NFL rushers with a total of 830 yards on the ground. As a Giant in his 8-year career, he was named first or second team All-League every year from 1936 through 1942 by either or both a major wire service and the NFL. the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Tuffy Lehmans in 1978. Our next birthday trip takes us to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on November 12, 1927. Jack Butler, the ball-hawking cornerback from St. Bonaventure, was born. The Pro Football Hall of Fame provides a great career biography sketch on Jack. It tells us that when he was a free agent signing of his hometown NFL team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in 1951. All he did as a non-drafted player was to play for 9 seasons and step away from the game as a player with the second most career interceptions in league history. Think about that for a second. The second most interceptions in NFL history books as an undrafted player. Truly amazing. Jack played a total of 103 games and picked off 52 passes for 827 return yards. 4 of those were pick sixes. Butler was named the NFL's all-decade team of the 1950s. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Jack Butler in the year 2012. November 12, 1944, Ken Houston, the strong safety out of Prairie View A&M, celebrated his birth. Out of college, Ken Houston was a 9th-round, very befitting namesake pick of the Houston Oilers in the 1967 AFL-NFL Draft. He was a starter by the 3rd game of the season, and a few weeks later against the Jets, he was a dominant performer, according to the ProFootballHOF.com website. Against New York, he scored 2 touchdowns, one on a 71-yard blocked field goal attempt, and the other on a 43-yard interception return. After 5 seasons, the Oilers traded the veteran playmaker to the Redskins for 5 veteran players. That certainly showed the value of Ken Houston. Ken received an all-league acclaim with the Oilers in 1969 and 1971, and then was either an all-pro or all-NFC award winner with the Redskins every year from 1973 through 1979. In 1986, the selection committee chose Ken Houston to have the honor of entering into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. November 12, 1948, the legendary Dallas Cowboys safety Cliff Harris was born. The Pro Football Hall of Fame tells us the tale of how Cliff Harris was undrafted after 17 rounds of picks in the 1970 NFL Draft. This had to be some great motivation for him, as he signed as a free agent with the Cowboys that year and never looked back. The Pro Football Hall of Fame selected Cliff Harris to join their ranks as the folks with the gold jackets in the year 2020. November 12, 1952, University of California quarterback Steve Bartkowski was born. The CalBears.com webpage bio on Bartkowski tells us that he was an All-American quarterback in 1974, due in part to leading the nation in passing with 2,580 yards through the air. During his time at Cal, he had 4 games where he tossed over 300 yards, and in his senior season, he accumulated 2,387 yards of total offense. Steve became the number 1 pick in the 1975 NFL Draft by the Atlanta Falcons. Steve Bartkowski was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2012. November 12, 1954, Rob Lytle, a fantastic running back from the University of Michigan, was born. Rob was a Wolverines backfield from 1974 season through the 1976 campaign. According to the MGoBlue.com website, Jim Harbaugh was a ball boy for Michigan when Lytle played, and the young Harbaugh somewhat idolized Lytle because of his blocking ability and the way he would run with his pads lowered. Harbaugh also mentions in the interview that football clips of Dennis Quaid's character from the film Everybody's All-American were actually footage of Rob Lytle during games. When Lytle was done at Michigan, he held the Wolverine rushing career record of 3,317 yards, and his single-season mark of 1,469 yards stood for 21 years as a team high. Rob Lytle was inducted posthumously into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2015. We told you these November 12 football history headlines were packed, and so were the legends of the games on their birthdays. And November 13 is much the same, as we go through a great game of the first time players wore uniforms on the American football field. Make sure you check out that story tomorrow by clicking the subscribe button or checking in at pigskindispatch.com for all the latest action. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to get contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on the email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.